Our next passage of Scripture comes from Joshua, the 24th chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3a, followed by verses 14 through 25. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and Him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ricky and I have been in discussion about God's generosity to God's people. You know, this is the season, as I mentioned last week, this is the season that when we are in our homes with our families, we are preparing great feasts, we're making plans to have family present with us, or perhaps we're traveling to be with family or friends. And this is a time when we are invited to be thoughtful and to be generous and to be kind. And so we wanted to talk about maybe what that looks like with our faith, because certainly as we've heard throughout time, and especially these last 2 weeks, we've heard stories about how faithful God has been. Last week, we heard how the Israelites had camped at the Jordan River, how Moses had been their leader for 40 years. Moses was not going to be making the trip across the Jordan River. As a matter of fact, Moses' life was drawing to an end. God was generous to Moses for his faithfulness. He had let Moses look across the Jordan River to see that land that we call Canaan, that they knew as Canaan, that promised land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, all those great things. And Moses had a change of command, if you will, and Joshua became the leader of the people. And it was Joshua that we heard about last week who called the officers of the church together, who called the leaders together and gave them instructions on how this crossing was going to take place and the ways that they were expected to behave, the ways that were to shape their righteousness, to remind them of God's generosity for them. And so we heard how the people responded. The priests took the Ark of the Covenant. They stepped into the Jordan River. And to show God's power and glory, the river stopped so that the people could cross over on dry land. And part of God's generosity, God's faithfulness to the people, was to instruct the people to have one person from each of the 12 tribes to gather a stone. And so they built this altar on the bank of the river that they had crossed, a reminder to them, to themselves, for themselves, that God was faithful to the covenant, that God had done things. God was with them through this journey across this otherwise perilous river swollen from the spring rains. And so we heard that story last week. We fast forward to today's story. We went from the early chapters of Joshua last week to now the end chapters of the book that bears Joshua's name. Joshua now is preparing to die. His end days are coming, and he has called the leaders to Shechem, and he puts this challenge before them. He gathers them there, and he reminds them that God had made this promise to them about this land, that this was going to be their reward. This was going to be part of God's faithfulness to them. And so they were celebrating there, now having settled Canaan. Many years have passed. In Joshua's account, the year seemed to be 10 or less, perhaps. There's some evidence, perhaps, that might even be a short 5 years. We also know the way Joshua told the story that the 12 tribes came together in powerful ways to overcome all of the tribes, the pagan tribes that were inhabiting the land of Canaan. And so Joshua calls them together and he tells them, this is the day you need to make a decision. Whom will you follow? And he puts them to that question. Joshua himself rejects idolatry. He says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we hear the responding voices saying the same thing, telling Joshua and those that heard that they too were going to follow God. It's interesting in the way Joshua tells the story. Because in the next book of the Bible, in Judges, the story is told a little bit differently. Not quite the way Joshua tells the story. In the story that we hear of Judges, where the same land is being conquered, it's not a unified tribe. It's not 12 unified tribes standing together arm in arm to conquer the pagan tribes of Canaan. It is a loosely knit confederation. It's almost as if guerrilla warfare takes place over about 20 years, trying to overcome the kingdoms and the cities that make up Canaan. And so we have a difference in the telling of the same story, if you will. Different perspective, different takes on the same kinds of things that are going on. It's also interesting that when we talk about the New Testament, the witness and things that are going on, we often hear the Apostle Paul and others referring to Abraham about his great faith. But in today's text, in a time much closer to the lives of Abraham and Sarah, we hear Joshua talking about not so much Abraham's faith, but Abraham's decision to reject idolatry and follow where God is leading. So closer to the original story, the faithful followed a different thing. And I'm not saying that faith is not important, but again, I want us to consider how the stories are being told. We are invited to share in God's great generosity. We are invited to be part of God's faithful witness to all that God has done. And so these last couple of weeks, and in just a moment, I'm going to let Ricky talk about the future, as we have now been talking a little bit about the past that shapes us. One of the things as we talk about the commitment, Ricky, these people seem to have, this day they were standing up and making a commitment after they heard Joshua make this commitment to serve the Lord. They were standing up and making this. And I'm reminded of a story that took place a number of years ago. The Blue Collar Bulldogs, they were a basketball team, a high school basketball team. And Coach Cleveland Stroud was their coach. And he had waited and coached patiently for 18 years trying to get his team to the state finals. And this year, they went all the way to the finals and won the championship. And Coach Stroud recalls as his players lifted him up on their shoulders and were carrying them around the gymnasium, the room was electrified. The gymnasium was electrified. People were so happy. This school there in Georgia were so happy that their kids were able finally to get a state championship. And, you know, Coach Stroud says that's everything a coach ever dreams of, winning the championship. That's what motivates. A few weeks later, Coach Stroud was going over some records, and he discovered an ineligible player had played only 45 seconds in a regional qualifying game. Just 45 seconds that player had played. And Coach Stroud was just torn. We have a championship. We also let an ineligible player play. And he admitted to the officials what had occurred. And of course they lost the trophy, stripped of the championship. But Coach Stroud said, people are going to remember what we did that was right more than that championship. And so he was relieved of that burden, following the path of righteousness instead of following the excitement of the moment. You know, this thing that Joshua was telling the people, you know, they didn't realize it. They didn't know that all these idols had, I don't think they did. I kind of want to let them off a little bit, the pressure they're facing. They've been probably having these skirmishes and battles with these pagan tribes over the years, whether it's 20 that Judges reports or the 5 to 10 that Joshua reports. They've not had it easy. I want to give them a little bit of a break. But Joshua says, look, you've let all these things get in the way of your faithfulness to God. God has been so good to us. The people themselves were recounting what God had done. Remember, it was our God that delivered us from slavery. And Ricky, they said, and remember when we got out into the wilderness, it was our God who showed us the way. And Moses led us up to this, and now we're in this land that flows with me. That was our God that did that. And we had to, from time to time, be reminded about how generous and loving our God is so that we could faithfully witness. And so, Ricky, I'm about to let you make some comments, but part of the thing, some of the things I'm thinking is we sometimes lose the biblical story. It gets kind of changed by people. People shape it for their own understanding. We're 7 days out from Sutherland Springs, the massacre there, and there's been so many others. And people try to take that story that's fresh on our minds and they try to twist it into being, we need to have armed security guards and we need to have this and that. And you know, some of that just misses out on who God has called us to be. I think sometimes our understanding of generosity, as it's rooted in the Bible, we don't talk enough about God's faithfulness to us and our opportunity to respond faithfully. So I've been talking the last couple of weeks about the past. I want you to kind of tell me a few things, if you will, about maybe what's on your heart and the ways that God can take a congregation like this, a congregation that has 154, well, it's more than that. Oh, forgive my math. Over 150 years of faithful witness in this community. It's not always been easy.
Yeah.
There have been moments when this congregation has been camped at the river wondering what it was going to be like if we crossed over. And our folks ahead of us, our faithful that preceded us, made that decision and made some tough decisions. And it caused them to give more of their time and their talent and even their resources so that the faithful, authentic witness of Christ could be shared. I'm thinking of buildings being added. I'm thinking of people representing Christ in the community as leaders in classrooms, as elected officials, as volunteers on boards and committees. I'm thinking of all the children we have reached, all the families we fed and clothed. This church has been so faithful. What are your thoughts and what our future might be looking at as we're talking about God's faithfulness and generosity?
Yeah, I think the way we tell our stories, particularly the stories of faith, matter so much in what we move and how we move into the future that God has called us to. Like, this is the reason we teach basic Bible stories to our children in VBS and Sunday mornings and children's church and children's time. Like, we just tell these stories over and over again of, remember that one time when all these people were slaves in Egypt and God led them to freedom? Remember that one time Jonah was stuck in the belly of the whale and God provided for him and spit him out on dry land and helped right. Jonah hear his calling? Like, we tell these stories over and over again. Our children know these and we know these, but we keep telling them over and over because the stories that we tell matter. I think Israel here is on this threshold, right? Where they are looking back at everywhere they have come, from all the way back in the garden, right? This is our continual story, is that God makes this covenant, this promise to love us, to be faithful to us, and we fall short, right? And yet God is faithful again and again with Abraham and with Moses and with Joshua and with all the stories of faith in Scripture. And with our, like, this is our own story too, is that God is faithful and yet we fall short. And yet God is faithful. And so we sort of make this pivot, this turn, I think, from looking back into the past. Like last week, we remembered all the saints who have come before us, who have so deeply right. shaped our lives, who have taught us in Sunday school classrooms, who have led us in VBS, who have taken us on mission trips, who have told us the stories of faith, who have prayed for us and loved us and shaped us in the people that we are today. And we are here because we stand on the shoulders of all those who have come before us, right? And in our own lives, in 100 and some odd years ago, when the people of First Methodist said, you know what, we need a sanctuary building to meet in for worship. And not only do, like, we need this today, but generations from now, there are going to be people called Methodists in Decatur and across Wise County who need a place to worship. 100+ years from now, who we don't know, and some of whom, many of whom, we will never meet or know in our own lives. But we respond faithfully to what God has called us to so that future generations might come to know the deep love of God. I want to return to this psalm that Penny read for us earlier in the service. This is one of those psalms that is sort of this conversation between God and God's people, like so many of the psalms are. And if you have your Bible, it's Psalm 78 with you. And the people are responding to God, and they say, "We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. For he established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children." These are the stories of faith that God commanded our parents and our grandparents and all of our ancestors that have come before us that shaped us in the faith. These are the stories that God has commanded them to teach us in order to bring us to where we are today. We look back in order to know and understand the deep love that God has for us today and all those people who have shaped us. And they say, these are the stories that God commanded our ancestors to teach their children, the generation yet unborn, so that they would rise up and tell them to their children. Like, these are the stories that are passed on generation after generation after generation of the mighty works that God has done in our midst. And here's the key for me. The point of all this is so that they should set their hope in God. So that they should set their hope in God. Isaac Watts, the great English hymn writer, penned in 1719 these words, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. This threshold that Israel is on, I think, is a similar threshold that we at First Methodist are on as we are in this particular point in our time and our history together as a community. Long ago, a vision was cast that First Methodist was a church that claimed downtown in the city of Decatur. That we were a people firmly rooted in this city, that we were a people firmly rooted in this community, and that First Methodist was called to be here in this particular place to share the love of God made real in Jesus Christ with the people, our neighbors, in our own backyards. And that vision has developed over the years into wanting to be a place who teaches the stories of faith to the coming generations, to children yet unborn, to people who we do not yet know, to many people who we will never know or never meet that will come generations after us. Part of that has come very clearly and concretely in the building of this MAC building over here, right?
Right.
That's a vision for our youth to have a safe and inviting and welcoming and fun place to gather together, to build fellowship and build community and hear the stories of faith week after week after week with one another. A part of that has been the vision that this building might also provide another place for a new style of worship and a new community of faith to be formed. Because we are committed that people who are not currently here, God loves and is moving in their lives, and God is calling into this community. Before I ever arrived here in Decatur, Brian and I talked on the phone frequently, and I was probably pestering him way more than he had time for. But he sent me a lot of Just information about the city of Decatur and Wise County, and I'm sort of a statistical geek, and so I looked on the Census Bureau and everything I could get my hands on. Did you know that in the 2010 census, which is the most recent one taken, 59% of people in Wise County claim no religious affiliation? 59% of people in Wise County. That's nearly 35,000 people, literally right in our backyard, who have no faith community that they claim regularly. No people to embody for them the love of God in their times of deepest grief, when spouses and children and parents pass away, to show up and stock their fridge and freezers with meals for weeks on weeks. No one to teach their children the stories of Jesus at a very young age about what it means to be and bear the light of Christ in the world through simple acts of kindness and love and compassion. No one to show up and shower them with diapers and baby food when they're expecting a newborn in their life to celebrate with them. 35,000 people right here in our own backyard whom God deeply loves and whom God has called us to. And so this is part of my hope and my vision for the future. As I've entered into this vision that y'all have begun long before I ever arrived on the scene here 4 months ago in Decatur. As we begin this work of tending to the seeds that God has planted in the heart of all these people right in our own backyard, the coming generations who we do not yet know, and many whom will have children and grandchildren whom we will never meet, and long after we are gone from this earth, will have a place and a faith community to call home, a people that embody the love of Jesus in their lives in very concrete ways. Because of our act of faithfulness today, that generations from now might be able to claim the love of God in their lives. That's my hope and my dream for the future of this place.
Ricky, I just want to be clear that you're not equating yourself with Joshua and me with Moses. No. I'm not going to be a part of crossing the river. But I heard you plainly, you know, claim that vision that others, even before I arrived here, had about reaching unchurched, de-churched, people that have been scorned by the, just giving another opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that just continuously speaks to me about people and their generosity.
Yeah.
When it's a God thing, people want to respond.
Yeah.
And that's rooted in God's generosity for us, of God's faithfulness. Even when we have followed other paths,
yeah,
God continues to remain powerful, present, and in full control. So I just want to thank you for your willingness to be a part of these Israelites as we prepare to continue the full inhabitation, if you will, of Canaan.
Yeah.
Here in Wise County, as we are a part of God's faithful response to the world and the needs of this world. You know, in just a minute, we're going to be coming to the Lord's table. We're going to be celebrating once again the in very tangible ways as we receive the cup and the bread of God's love for us. And I just hope and pray that, you know, the folks that see us out in the world, I would love for us all to be able to share our story, not only our story in a personal sense, but the story of our congregation and the ways that we have been faithfully at work for over 150 years, present here in the heart of this community, in the downtown part of this community, and the good things that continue to go on by the people. I hope and I pray that will be a part of our story, and that we are all willing to share that story with others, to invite people to come to a church where God's love is visible and present and powerful and changing people's lives. Amen. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.